Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're also pleased to welcome back here to the program the man we like to call our chef in residence. And let me please point out, ladies and gentlemen, this is a purely honorary title. Doyle Moore is his name. For a long time now, he's been stopping by on the show on the first Wednesday of the month in the 10 o'clock hour to talk about food. And we always, always have a good time when he is here, generally picking some particular topic. Sometimes it's a key ingredient. Sometimes it's a particular dish. And just talking about that thing, talking about different approaches to it. People sometimes call in and share their recipes. Sometimes people just call in and share particular stories, which is always a lot of fun. And one of the things that we certainly have learned over the years is there are important stories connected with food. Those two things really go together. And as I say, we always have a good time. Well, this time around, he said, let's sort of take this approach. And the way I talked about it in promoting the show was kind of like this. We certainly know now, we have a great appreciation for the fact that there is a very close relationship between diet and health. That is, there's a very strong relationship between what we eat and how we feel. Now, we've certainly been getting for some time now fairly consistent advice about what would be good in our diet and what we should be having a lot of and what we should be kind of having less of. And sort of that's one thing. But then there are a lot of people who would say, well, you know, I think I've really found out that I feel better if I kind of stay away from a particular thing. You know, that doesn't mean maybe I've cut that completely out of my diet. But if I really try to emphasize some things and minimize other things, I suddenly realize, gosh, I actually feel a lot better. That's kind of the idea here. You know, we've said, well, if you really have something that you're trying to definitely keep down in the diet, how then do you make meals that are pleasing and taste good and you're going to want to eat, and maybe even you're going to want to say to people, hey, come on over for dinner and I'm going to make this thing and you'll like it. That's the idea. We want to put as positive a kind of a spin on it as possible. You know, good food that makes you feel good, that tastes good, that you want to eat. That's kind of the idea. So if you have a recipe to share, all you need to do is pick up the telephone and give us a call. As always, call in and share it with us. 333-9455 is the number. We do also have a toll-free line. That one is good anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. So at any point here, you want to call us, you join the conversation, you do that. It's good to have you back here.
Good. Thank you very much.
So yes. this, like a lot of the things that we do, this starts out with you and with something you've
with
been
me and,
thinking
and
about.
My involvement with it, yes, whatever it is. Well, I've put myself into quite a predicament about things like this. And people practically know my entire history of cooking and such since we've been doing it for so long. And but in between all that time, I got involved with deciding to become diabetic. Well, that first cut out a lot of things. And instead of thinking of it in terms of cutting out, I think of it now in terms of adding on other things that I never would have used before. And it mentally is a whole lot more pleasant than saying, oh, I'm denying myself this. I'm denying. And so then you feel sorry for yourself. And so then naturally you eat more. And so that was all right. But then I had been having trouble with gout. And I tried to get some help on that, and there are medicines and such, but all those medicines are in conflict with my other medicines, so I can't take those gout pills, and then I find out that sorry, you cannot cure gout, you can only alleviate it, and how do you do that? Well, you don't have purines. And there are a lot of foods that have purines, and all meat has purines, and several vegetables, which surprises me. I tell people about the list of vegetables and say, those are all the good ones. I said, yes, it is, but you can't have it. So what I've been searching around, and I've been finding recipes, and I've been altering some of them because I'm aware that meat doesn't have to be a substance in every meal. And then I got to thinking, even on the way over here, I thought, oh, yes, there's Mother's Tomato Day, the day that we had tomatoes all day long. And with macaroni and with bread and with things like that, and that meat was not a part of that. And I thought, well, of course, that's exactly what it is. You find the other things that you, instead of taking out from your diet, you add things to your diet. And then I've been finding that there are a lot of cultures that have a rather free kind of diet. And so I've been finding recipes, and then I've been altering recipes, and I alter recipes that I already know by just leaving out certain things, but then adding. But then we now have so many spices and herbs and tastes that add a richness to the flavor that I've been enjoying very much, sort of inventing tastes and inventing foods. And last week I was in Madison, Indiana all last week. I made a strata out of a whole loaf of Italian bread and smeared mustard on it, and then put pimento cheese spread on, and then covered the top, and then put the egg, and it was so good I couldn't believe how good it was, because I had remembered years and years and years ago over here at the home ec school, the little restaurant they had there. They used to make something that I had no idea what it was. It took me years to find out that it was really a strata. They just called it a baked cheese sandwich. But what it was a cheese sandwich that they had poured the milk and the cream and eggs over. Mm-hmm. And then let that soak, and then baked it off, and then had it as this strange thing, which I now recognize as a strata. So I put those two things together, and I'm telling you, everybody at the table was scraping the bottom of the dish to get the last bit. It was really, really good. And then so then I keep looking for things like that I can vary and twist around a little bit. I'm interested right now, since it is pumpkin time. We are in October and it is pumpkin time. I'm going to make pumpkin raviolis and have a light sauce on that. That's one that I'm going to think about. Mm-hmm. I know that things like that exist, mm-hmm. but. So it's been a matter of survival and trying to make things work, but I'm also enjoying the fun of inventing a lot of these, and I've come up with a lot of things, and then I twist them around just a little bit. But I'm sure that other people are cooking the same way, because I'm talking to more people about it. Oh, yes, my brother has to do this. My sister has to do that. And I wouldn't take my doctor's advice. I said, what can I do if I can't eat this and this and this and this and that and that? He says, twigs and berries. And so I thought, well, that's a nice idea maybe. But then you see, that's all that negative of doing without, not having and doing without. Okay. And so I want to twist that around so it's a positive spin. And that is that we'll then go and find more things.
All right. That is the challenge.
That's the challenge.
Radio listeners, and we already have a couple of people who'd like to join in the conversation. That's the idea. You know, creative cooking when there are certain things that you're just wanting to avoid.
Avoid, yes.
How do you make meals that still are satisfying and taste good and you're happy to eat when there might be a particular thing that you'd say, okay, well, we're not going to have that. 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. First caller in line here is in Urbana, line one. Hello.
I have a question.
Yes.
Rather than a recipe. Mm-hmm. Although if you really want a recipe, I can come up with one for you. I have two daughters-in-law, each of whom are super tasters. They taste things that I don't.
I see.
For instance, one is... can't have gluten. And late in life, she discovered, not late in life, in midlife, she's discovered that she is allergic to gluten, and by eliminating it from her diet, she's eliminated migraine headaches, for one thing.
Good.
Yeah, and a friend had forwarded me two salad recipes, grain recipes, that he found were really good, that generally got good reviews from friends when he served them. And one of them had quinoa.
Yes.
How you pronounce it in it?
Yes.
So I forwarded these to my daughter-in-law, and she said, oh, quinoa has such a bitter taste. And I thought, it does?
Yes.
And I looked it up on the Internet, and sure enough, there's ways to get rid of it, which include washing it five times and rubbing it.
Yes, it is.
And that seems like an awful lot of work for us.
No, no, it's not. I say that because it really works. I have just become a quinoa enthusiast. I've hated quinoa for years and years and years. I'd try it. It tastes awful. I didn't like the texture. Everything was wrong with it. I wasn't cooking it right, and I wasn't doing the right things with it. And then just a month ago, when I was in Wyoming with family, we got the red quinoa, which is, it's called Inca Red, and it's a little bit smaller than the usual kind, and it looks more appealing. But what you have to do is that you must wash it. And I remember Sister was very insistent on washing it, but it's done in a sieve and running water through it. And so that pre-washing is apparently quite necessary. And then you cook it until it is done. And when it's done, it's totally different from what I used to think was done, because the little seeds lose their outer hulls. And then there's some weird thing that all of a sudden appears that is a little white surface around it, and it sort of falls off as well. Well, when you get to that particular condition, the quinoa is then ready to eat. But what I did not like her recipe, I had changed her recipe too. She had a recipe which was kind of like a little quinoa salad. And I pushed it much farther, more like a tabbouleh, because I added a lot of lemon juice and a lot of parsley, and then I got jicama and chopped that up, because that gave a nice crunch to it. But I believe you could get an equally good crunch from celery. And then a lot of green onions and a lot of an amount. Take so you have. that's the right amount. And tomatoes. And I made a salad out of that. And the lemon juice was a little bit tart, so I added some good balsamic vinegar, because that is a little tiny bit sweeter. And it was so good. It was really good. So I think you kind of have to learn how to work with some of these foods. That's my thought about quinoa, and I'm now sold on it.
I know somebody else who can't stand celery and can taste it in a recipe and finds it.
Oh, well, celery is a strong taste. We use it for its strong taste. I'm often cooking with celery leaves only, instead of even the back part. I would say find other, like I just mentioned, I use the jicama for that crunch, because it's a little more anonymous and isn't a great flavor, but it has that thing that they call mouth appeal, and it tastes good when you crunch down on it. So I would recommend maybe some other vegetables.
Well, I'm going to need to do some more research to find out what other things taste awful that I don't taste.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a shame to ruin a recipe for a guest because of something like celery.
You're absolutely right.
You can't substitute other things. And there are some things that are in a lot of recipes. Some people can't eat onions.
Right. My brother can't have onions or fresh tomatoes.
Thank goodness.
Well, that makes it rather difficult when he loves Spanish food,
yeah.
Mexican food. Although he manages to get around it. He gets around it.
Well, I've taken up enough of your time. The recipe I was going to recommend
Yes.
was one from a cookbook author who was on the WYLL, and it's from the America's Test Kitchen Family Cookbook.
Oh, yes.
So I just wanted to mention to people if they wanted to find a light guacamole recipe that uses avocado and lima beans.
Oh.
And I've tried it, and it was marvelous. And I got compliments from people who have lived in Mexico, and they told me now I could get married.
Now you know how to do that.
I've been married for 39 years.
You never can tell. One day you just might, you know. Go for another time.
But anyway, it's in there, and I use baby lima beans. I didn't bother taking the skins off.
Yes.
If you want to look
yes.
it up. I'm sure that you have other callers, so I'll let you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Talk with you. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for the call. 333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana. Toll free, 800-222-9455. This is our monthly program on cooking with the man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. Different topic every time around, sometimes focusing on an ingredient or style of cooking. And this time around, he said, well, you know, let's acknowledge the fact that a lot of people have discovered that eating certain things or not eating certain things makes them feel better. So, all right, well, that's a cooking challenge because that means you might have to adapt some recipes by leaving something out or just saying, hey, look, there's something here. It's, well, you want to eat that, that's fine, but I'm not going to eat that. So how do we work around that? 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. We'll talk with someone next in Aurora. It's line number 4. Hello.
Hi, good morning, Doyle.
Hello there.
It's so great to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you. I have been gone for a while. I was in Wyoming looking up new recipes.
Well, that's good that you were doing something for our good.
I was doing something for your good. You're right. Yes.
I received a recipe from my niece who has, I don't know what you call it, diabetes. She had an infected pancreas and kept having parts of it removed.
Oh, my, yes.
And, no, parts of it were diseased. And before they found out what her problem was, they had to remove it all.
Oh, my.
It's a disastrous situation, as you can imagine. So she sends me recipes, and she sent me a recipe from Splenda.
Yes.
Which is lemon chicken. And like I said, it's not in keeping what you wanted to discuss. But I just thought if there was anybody else that might want recipes, to get, you know, look for Splenda and see if that can help them.
I am a Splenda user. I like it. I don't use a whole lot of it. You see, one of the problems is you go overboard. You say, oh, I found something, and you use too much of it, and you get into more trouble. But I do use Splenda. Especially for things like iced tea, and some of my friends make desserts for me that use a little bit of Splenda, and I find it very, very good. And there is a website for Splenda, and they have various,
oh, is there?
Oh, yes.
Well, that's good to know.
I think it's just Splenda.com.
Probably.
And so also they have a. Newsletter that you can sign up for and get that. And I'm a fan of Splenda, but I have also learned I don't need as much sugar tastes as I used to think that I did. And so I have just cut way back. I do use sugar for its chemical. In some cooking, because you need to caramelize some things, and it's the sugar that caramelizes, or else you don't have it. But it's never more than maybe a tablespoon of sugar in some instances. But I like to use the Splenda. Yes.
This will explain a lot about me. I lived through World War II when no sugar was available.
When it was not there, yes.
And You got a coupon, I forgot the term, how could I forget it, and you'd get so much sugar a month.
A ration coupon.
Your ration
coupon, yeah.
And I kind of I stopped putting sugar in my coffee, and I still don't. And I don't use much sugar at all.
Uh-huh.
And but I suppose that's difficult. But I find it very easy to eat a lot of other foods.
Yes,
that, and not be able to count many calories.
That's exactly what I'm interested in today. Is it's not substitutions really, but additives, the other things that are just not a part of your regular diet. You decide, well, wait, I can do that.
But I do have a great empathy for people with diabetes. And I pray for the cure. I just pray that sometime, somehow, somewhere, they will find a cure. And I just want those people with it to know there are people that have complete empathy for them.
Well, that's very good, and that's very kind of you to share that idea. Actually, my approach is, well, just do without that. It's not a matter of curing. It's a matter of not causing it to become a problem.
Yes.
And you can do that by changing your diet and moving things around and finding not substitutes but other foods that are pleasing to you. And you'll find that I don't remember the last time I bought any sugar. I still have it left from somewhere. I use a teaspoon or a tablespoon.
You know, that's true. I haven't bought sugar in a long time.
I have no idea where the sugar is. And I've come to dating things now when I buy it, like salt. I can get through a pound of salt in about 6 years. I put the date on it. I say,
oh, that's
what?
A good idea.
And so,
isn't it?
So that lets me know that yes, I haven't bought any in that period of time, and so because salt free is another thing that I have to be careful of, salt free. So salt is just I almost use none unless it's a vegetable that's exceedingly bland and doesn't have very much salt in it or much flavor in it. I will put a quarter of a teaspoon, but that's not very much. It's a pinch. That just and I put it in at the end so that you get that. Oh, that business with salt is very funny. There's finishing salt, and then there's spicing salt. There's all kinds of.
It's a big thing, salt.
The only trouble is, it's all exactly the same thing, but you use it at different times, and you can learn a new way of using things like that.
I wanted to say also. I've started to cook a little, not much, a little of the Mexican foods.
Yes.
And I have a cookbook called Arizona Cookbook, and it has Indian, Mexican, and Western cook recipes.
Yes.
In it. And I think it's fun, and I'm always looking for something new in recipes, and I'm having fun with this. And I think that's a part of eating, having fun.
Yes, it is. It is indeed. And making new discoveries.
Yes, yes.
Well, I will give you a little hint of something to discover with your new cooking. Blue cornmeal.
You know, I've seen it, but I have never purchased it.
Get some.
Where does it come from?
From blue corn from New Mexico.
New Mexico, really?
And Arizona, blue corn, and
well,
it is
one. Does it taste differently?
Yes, it does. It does, and you can make. You could make a cornbread out of it. I would use other flour along with it, because it's pretty strong. But there is an atole that is made with blue cornmeal and as a little porridge for breakfast that is so good, and then blue cornmeal pancakes are very, very good. And you can use it as a thickening in some other stews. I think that probably the safest one you can get, unless you're in New Mexico, is Bob's Red Mill. Bob's Red Mill has blue cornmeal.
Well, it will match our kitchen curtain.
It will do it. Okay, good. Thank you.
Right. And I thank you much. And again, it's great to have you back.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call. And just again, for people who are interested, yes, in fact, the Splenda folks, that this is it's a sugar substitute. It's the kind of thing that you can. It's an artificial sweetener, and if you're trying to bake, there's certain things you're trying to bake. Or
baking,
you know.
Baking with Splenda is easier than with Equal. Equal is hard to do, although you can do it, but you have to do some juggling around. But Splenda cooks quite well.
So they do have a website, and it is, in fact, Splenda.com.
Splenda.com.
And they have recipes on there. So if you want to take a look at it, you can do that. We have another caller here who's been patient, and we'll get to them. Let's go to line number two, and I think that's someone in Urbana. Hello.
Correct. Hello.
Hi.
I'm sorry it took so long. I get carried away.
Yeah, well, it's always fun to listen to. I can't help you much with your purine, which is the correct pronunciation, by
yes.
the way. I'm a chemist.
Oh. Oh, good. Somehow I've never been correct. Good. Purines, I like that.
At any rate, can't help you too much with that. I'm a bit of a, I started to say a carnivore. Actually, I'm an omnivore. But there are a great many people who have allergies to wheat.
Yes, there are.
Which, of course, it's the gluten in
yes.
that most people are allergic to. I think the last caller mentioned that.
Right.
And I have, I have a Mexican cornbread recipe, which is the only cornbread recipe I have ever seen that contains no wheat flour. It is all cornmeal.
All cornmeal, yes.
And it's very, very good. It was given to me by a friend many years ago. But I don't know what would happen if you mixed a little blue cornmeal in that.
Well, it would be pretty. It'd be a little gray. You might be surprised.
I'm not so sure. But at any rate, you mix up a cup and a half of cornmeal, a teaspoon of salt, and 1.5 teaspoons of baking powder.
Now, give me that again. A salt is how much?
1 teaspoon.
1 tea of salt.
And it's 1.5 teaspoons of baking powder.
And 1.5 teas of baking powder.
And 1.5 cups of cornmeal.
And 1.5 cups of cornmeal,
and
yes.
And I tend to use, you know, the stone ground stuff.
Yes, that does make a difference. I can't tell you the real difference it is, but stone ground cornmeal is exactly the one that you want to use.
Okay, then to the dry ingredients, you add 2 eggs.
2 eggs, yes.
1 cup of milk.
And 1 cup of milk,
1/3 cup of oil. Cooking oil.
Cooking oil.
Whatever,
yes.
Canola.
Canola would be fine.
Whatever. 1/4 pound of grated cheddar cheese.
Oh, 1/4 pound of cheddar.
4-ounce can of chopped green chili.
Oh, yes. 4 ounces of green chili.
And 1 cup of corn. The recipe says you can use either creamed or whole kernel, but I have always used whole kernel.
Whole kernel I like. Creamed works. I wanted some corn the other day, and I only had one very, very, very old can of creamed corn because I used to just eat it out of the can. I loved it so much. And it was so good. So as my own little secret, I would eat corn out of the can. Well, I found a can of it. So what I did was I washed it off. I washed all the cream stuff off, and I had good kernels of corn. So
yeah, well, just buying a can of whole kernel corn works better.
It works a little bit better. Yes, some niblets. Get some niblets. Oh, that's good because now that has green chilies and corn and cheddar cheese in it. That is a lot of good addition to the corn.
Yeah, it's a very good recipe. You're supposed to bake it in a 9x9 greased pan at 400.
Oh, at 400. That's hot.
That's hot, yes.
How long? 25
minutes? 45 minutes.
45 minutes.
Because of the cheese and corn and
stuff.
Oh,
yes.
It takes a while. And I cornbread breaks faster if you got flour in it, but since this doesn't, there's a variant on it that I really like and is very, very popular at potlucks, where instead of greasing the bottom of the pan, you fry up ground sausage and put that in the bottom. You have to, you know, pre-fry the sausage.
Oh yes,
the grease.
Yes,
but the with the sausage on the bottom, it's really good.
That would be very tasty.
If you're needing to avoid meat, you can't really do that.
Well, I would do something else. That's very good.
But the original recipe does not involve that. But I thought that because this is the only recipe I've ever encountered for cornbread that does not include flour.
It has regular wheat flour in it, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, that's very good.
That's great.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Cornmeal.
We're a bit past the midpoint here,
dear.
More than a bit, actually. This is our monthly program on cooking. This is something we've been doing for a long time on the first Wednesday at 10 with this man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore, picking some different topic every time around, sometimes key ingredient, style of cooking, regional cooking, particular dish, and just saying to people, well, call in and talk with us about it. How do you make this? What's your secret? What do you like to do? How do you deal with, and in this particular case, we're dealing with, well, okay, so some people have dietary concerns. There are things that they can't eat, or they're really trying to keep it at least at a minimum. So the challenge might be, well, given that constraint, how do you cook? What do you do to make stuff that's good, that you like to eat, that tastes good, that you're willing to serve to company? And for different people, of course, it can be a different issue. But I think more and more now we're starting to find that there is, as I said at the beginning, there is this very close relationship between what we eat and how we feel.
And how we feel.
And a lot of people have said, well, you know, one day I just decided I wasn't going to have any more of X. And, you know, I felt a lot better afterwards. I don't miss that. I don't miss X at all.
Well, so, I will tell you my response to that. Gout is just horrible. And I just really couldn't anticipate when it's going to happen. It happens at 4 o'clock in the morning, by the way, somewhere between 2:30 and 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just absolutely a wreck. Well, anyway, having eliminated the purines, thank you, having eliminated that from my diet, I have had no gout since Easter. And I've also lost several pounds. As one of my close friends said, well, there are no fat vegetarians. I said, well, that may be what it is. So I call it no pain, no gain.
Well, let's go to the phones here and talk. I want to say, by the way, that someone called in and said that there is someone, a farmer in Pena, that grows organic blue corn.
Oh.
So, but I don't have an idea. How would you get a hold of this person's product? But apparently here in central Illinois, there is somebody who's making blue corn. All right, let's get back to the phones here and talk with someone east of Danville, line 4.
Thank you very much. What an interesting time.
Aren't we having a good time? Yes.
I wanted to add a note about the Splenda.
I use
the brown sugar Splenda.
Oh, yes.
On oatmeal with cinnamon, and that's all.
Uh-huh.
But I do see that it's the brown sugar is half. It's just half Splenda, half of the sugar.
It is their substitute, and it's very good.
I like
to cook with brown sugar.
And the
Splenda brown sugar has sugar in it, but
yes.
but then there's a goodly amount is Splenda, and my sister has been using that in making some cakes. She's quite a cake person, and she likes that brown sugar, but it is sugar, so you have to be careful.
It takes very little, though, for a bowl of oatmeal.
Oh, well, that's right. Just to top the bowl of oatmeal.
Uh-huh.
That's very good. Well, that's very, very good, and I'm glad you're finding things like that.
Yes, well, thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's talk with someone in Chicago, line 1. Hello. Is there a caller there, line 1, Chicago? Well, okay. How about let's try Champagne, line 2. How about this? Hello.
Hi. Yes, I'm here.
Great.
Couple of things. Trying to get, of course, more fat out of the diet.
Yes.
Poaching has been something that I've been doing. And I have a simple recipe with salmon.
Yes.
And it's just about a pound and a half of salmon in filleted. And what you do is you take, and I make my life easy, too. So you could either dice your own tomatoes if you got them fresh from the garden.
Yes.
But I just buy the can of, you know, diced tomatoes
diced,
at the store.
Yes, diced tomatoes I like very, very
right.
much.
Right, and they usually have a little seasoning in them. So
yes.
You get like the basil or one of those. So I do that, and then I put in a third of a cup of fat-free Italian salad dressing.
Oh.
Okay. And, and stir
yes.
that up. And I'll throw in a little bit of minced garlic, maybe about a teaspoon of it, and then about a tablespoon of dried basil.
And dried basil,
uh-huh.
yes.
And so you stew that a little bit, let that all kind of warm up, and then you put the salmon on top, and you cover it on the stove, and you just poach it for about 10 minutes, and the salmon comes out really nice and tender. And usually I serve something like either like some brown rice or some wild rice.
Wild rice would be
on
good,
the
yes.
side. And then, you know, so it's a really nice, low-fat, very satisfying meal and really tasty, too.
That's good.
And the other thing I do, I'm like with your brother. I don't eat tomatoes, fresh, you know, raw tomatoes,
right.
I should say. And so the diced ones, you know, the cooked ones work really well for me. And I'm not a fan of onions at all. And it's a texture thing. It's not a flavor thing.
I see.
It's a texture thing. And so I cook a lot with onion powder.
Oh, yes.
And that works just fine. It gives the flavor.
It gives the flavor,
want,
yes.
But it doesn't have the onion bite to it. So that works out really, really well. And I'm so thankful to the lady who called in about the brown sugar Splenda.
Oh, yeah,
I
forget what it's called. It's not called half and half. But
right.
I didn't think it's just Splenda brown sugar.
Yeah, so I bought some, and I've been kind of hesitant to use it in a cookie recipe because, you know, I just like it's one of the oatmeal recipes that's, you know, use margarine and or actually the Smart Balance instead of the butter.
Oh, yes.
And has the sugar and the brown sugar. And I was like, wow, that's – so I bought the brown sugar, Splenda brown sugar, to see if I could use that instead. I haven't yet, but it sounds like it's a pretty promising.
I think that you can, but then again, don't – don't pig out on them and eat the whole
bit. No,
I mean,
no.
Be modest in,
won't
in
be
eating.
Doing that. Right, right. No, that's the whole idea. Right?
Yes, indeed. That helps. But it will work. It will work in your baking quite well.
Okay, great. All right. Well, thanks so much.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks for the call. Let's keep going here. We've got about 10 minutes left in this part of the show, and we'll go next and talk with someone in Urbana, line 3. Hello.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to hear the whole thing. What was it you said you left out of your diet to get rid of gout?
Actually, all meat.
Meat?
All meat.
Oh,
meat,
my.
Meat, fish, chicken, all of that, plus certain vegetables, and they are asparagus, mushrooms, cauliflower, spinach, and beans.
Asparagus,
kind of cuts out
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, really. What do you got left?
Spinach,
well, that,
beans.
Yeah.
Huh,
and
okay.
And those are vegetables that are very heavy in purines.
Hmm.
And so I've just eliminated them and said, can't have those. And you know what? I keep finding other things. I'm looking right now. I don't know where I'm going to find it. Merlotins or chayotes. Chayote is the Mexican and California name for I think those were called alligator pears at one time, chayotes. Oh. But in Louisiana, they're called merlotins, and they're a strange little green kind of like a squash, but a different taste. And you cube them up and you cook those in different manners.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Right. Thank you. On to somebody else here. Let's talk with somebody in Chicago, line 4.
Yes, some people have been commenting about gout. Dr. Duke, ethnobotanist,
yes,
has written extensively on the matter.
Oh, yes.
Along with other things regarding gout, and he's recommended celery seed extract.
Oh, celery seed.
Counter factor for those conditions of gout. Or they can use the celery seed, but it takes longer, but the celery seed extract apparently has a great effect. They could look him up and find out his references and comments.
Yes, that's very good. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, Dr. Duke is a well-known ethnobotanist.
Yes, Duke.
But personally, a comfort food that I've enjoyed was pancakes.
Oh, yes.
And those who were certainly wheat sensitive and other things, I've enjoyed the commercial package brand that uses soy. They are a little heavier, but they're still very nice. And you can even make a crepe out of it, too.
Oh, my.
Sure. It all depends on how much liquid and all the other egg and other things you might want to have. But I recently came upon this week's Tribune having a delightful lemon ricotta pancakes.
Oh, my. Yeah, oh, lemon ricotta.
But my gosh, six eggs and about a pound of ricotta cheese, well, a little fat, of course, or milk, and butter. But pancakes are a favorite comfort food. And but one more factor on the diabetic situation.
Yes.
I've heard references made in the past that cinnamon seems to be having an ameliorating effect upon
yes, as simple as a quarter of a teaspoon of cinnamon a day.
Yeah, but it should be steeped like in a little hot water.
Oh, and I see.
Yeah, so sort of a or they now have the packaged extract or essential ingredient and available in the health food stores too. So I thought I'd pass along.
Oh yes, that
thank
that's
you very much.
That's a very good response. Yes, cinnamon. I'd sort of forgotten about that. I tried that a few months ago. It's good.
Okay. Let's keep going here. And Champaign is next. Line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi.
Actually, I was going to respond to two things. One, I think the farmer in Pena is Jack Ayersman.
Yes. I just, in fact, found, I've been surfing here while we're doing the show, and I did find a little article, and I think it was a Farm Bureau, some kind of Farm Bureau publication, and that was the name, and it mentioned the fact that he, in addition, I guess, to growing blue corn, does grow other varieties of things.
Yeah, no, so, my husband knows him because he grew up with him.
Oh, okay. So do you know, is it possible to as a commercial, you know, regular average consumer to buy his product?
So I'm trying to remember what my in-laws said about it, but I'm sure that if you contacted him, there's a way. I was looking at another one on sustainable agriculture research that has his, but I don't find a website or something for him yet, but
mm-hmm.
It might be there. But I'm sure, I mean, I'm sure he sells it commercially, but I just don't know, you know, what the sort of where it goes.
Sure.
Anyway, I thought of that as I was listening. I actually was just going to call in. I just was playing around because my husband, who also grows organic produce, had basil. And I make pesto, but most of my family doesn't like it all the time on pasta.
Mm.
I mean, they can only tolerate a small amount. So I then made pesto pizza, which has no meat on it.
Mm.
It's not low calorie, I wouldn't say, because of the cheese. But I was incredibly surprised that all except one of my family absolutely loved it. I mean, I just can't make it
up. How interesting.
Yeah, and it was just an experiment I used olive oil in my dough.
Yes.
My own pizza dough. So that kind of added a nice flavor, too. But just put pesto down instead of the tomato sauce.
Yes.
And then sliced, I had some combination cheese that I bought at Sam's. Like, it had provolone and mozzarella and stuff with it, but then just put onions and sweet peppers, because that's what we had left over,
too,
and sliced tomatoes on the top, and just baked like a pizza, and it's really good.
Oh, that sounds good.
Anyway, so that's one way to get rid of some meat. But
yes, it is.
It was really a comfort food for us. Anyway, so that's all.
Pesto, that's very good. Thank you.
Sure.
Great.
Well,
thanks very much.
That's exactly it, and that's exactly the attitude, is find new things to use rather than feeling like you're throwing something away.
Yeah. Okay, good. Let's talk with somebody else here. Line two, this is a Champaign caller. Hello.
Hi. I have several comments. One of my favorite things to say is I've never seen a recipe I don't want to alter. So,
good for you.
I don't really have a recipe, but I have a lot of things I've gleaned because I read the Wednesday living section with all the recipes, like a composer reads a score, you know.
Oh, yes.
Reading cookbooks. One is yogurt cheese, which you can drain yogurt through a cheesecloth and you
right.
get about half the volume, and you can use that to replace sour cream or cream cheese in a recipe. And you can also use plain yogurt without draining it if it's a recipe where you have some liquid somewhere else that you can reduce.
Oh, yes.
Or if it doesn't matter. And then one of the things that the recipe doctor does is she often substitutes some light pancake syrup for if she'll reduce the margarine, say, she'll say there's a cup and she'll do 3/4 cup with non-trans fat margarine, and then the other 1/4 cup she'll do with light pancake syrup.
Oh, yes.
And another one I found recently in the News Gazette also was for oatmeal cookies, using drained applesauce, because you can substitute applesauce, but it does make it sort of gummy. I haven't tried these yet, but
yeah.
She recommends the same thing, like through cheesecloth, where a strainer, about a cup, will yield about 3/4 cup of drained applesauce, and with the extra liquid gone, it's not quite so gummy.
Yeah.
And then this was to replace a cup of butter. She used that 3/4 cup of drained applesauce and 2 tablespoons of butter.
That is a remarkable discovery. I think that there are even some commercial bakers that are using fruit purees instead of all the butter. It's an interesting thing that exists. It's existed, but it's always been hidden.
Yeah, prune puree is another one that you use.
Prunes, yes.
Chocolate recipe.
Yes.
And then Stonyfield Yogurt has recipes, but I couldn't lay my hands on their website, but I think it's something like www.stonyfield.com.
Uh-huh.
And that's yogurt that has inulin, I think it is, in it, which is yields some fiber. I have no idea what it is.
Hmm.
Do you know what it is?
No, I don't know that. That's new to me.
Okay. And then the other thing I do in almost every recipe is substitute half whole wheat flour for regular flour. And you can get away with up to substituting half the whole wheat, the flour with whole wheat without altering the other things. If you do more than that, then you need to alter the liquid and, you know, it gets complicated. But
now, I use white whole wheat flour, white wheat. It's one of my new passions. That's a product that we can buy in this part of the country from
King Arthur.
And I like it very much. And I have been making pastas from whole wheat, using all whole wheat.
Oh, really?
Oh, I don't worry about putting other flour in with it.
Oh, so with the I haven't tried that. That's what I've been using, but I haven't tried the whole thing. So with the white whole wheat flour, you can use the whole thing.
Oh, I just use 2 cups of that.
Oh, that's a
couple
great.
Of eggs. Throw it in, make some pasta, and it works.
Oh, great!
And I always feel justified.
Virtuous,
yes. Virtuous and justified.
And then I just have one comment about tasting things.
Yes.
I'm one of the few people I've ever met that can't stand cilantro.
And I think there's a lot of people, they call it dirty socks. It tastes like dirty socks.
It tastes like soap.
Soap and dirty socks, yeah.
Which is how rancid things taste to me, like soap, too. So it has kind of a bitter soap.
A lot of people do not like cilantro.
Oh, well, that's
yeah.
comforting.
So you're not unusual at all.
Good. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. See, I think after also having talked about it here and having heard you talk about it, I did also go out and get some of that white whole wheat flour.
Yes, you did.
And experimented with it. And I think it's amazing, I think, for people who would say, oh, I don't like
right.
I don't like whole, so for example, they'd say, you know, I've tried whole wheat pasta, okay? Well, not only now I think, is the whole wheat pasta that's available much,
much better.
Better.
Much better.
But if you want to make your own, you can either, well, as you say, if you want to make it with all whole wheat, the white whole wheat, you can. You'll like it better. It'll look more like you're saying this is what it should look like.
Yes.
And also, if you want to substitute some of the whole wheat flour for the white, you know, make a, you know, do it half and half or do it 3/4 and 1/4, you know, whatever you want to do.
Two totally different wheats. One, the white wheat is the white wheat is a spring wheat, and the red wheat is the winter wheat. And, of course, that was the staple of Kansas wheat farming was the turkey red wheat for so long, but now they're doing the white wheat. But it's a different mixture, and it comes out to be a different thing, and it is so good, and it does all the virtue of what whole grain wants to do. So I use, except for my Lee Brother biscuits, which is made with cake flour. That's the only other flour I use. I make biscuits with cake flour. I think it's decadent, and
well,
I love it.
Every once in a while, you can be decadent. We're going to have to stop here.
Oh, dear.
We have
clock on the wall.
For some time now, after people asking us, could we do this for a long time, we have now, with the help of a volunteer, we have recipes from our shows on the website. So go to will.illinois.edu. That's our webpage. Go to AM, and then you can click on Focus 580, and then you can click on links, and then there are the recipes, so you can get them there on the website. And we'll do it again next month, right?
I guess so.
Next month? Okay.
I'm ready.
First Wednesday of the month, 10 o'clock, Doyle Moore, for a long time, has been doing the show with us, and we always have a good time. He's the man we like to call our unofficial or official or whatever chef in residence.